Good morning, church. If you notice, I'm not our Polka Daniels. I needed to make sure you, I know we look alike, but he's my twin brother. But I'm Edward Marshall. Our Polka's not here. He's with a bunch of kids and a bunch of adults, and he's ministering that way. Okay, so he's still doing his job, but just on the banks, in the river. Kind of like our Polka really likes it. But I want to thank everybody for always caring for me and my family, even my extended family sitting there. I got my little nephew. He walked in. I didn't even notice he was here until just earlier. But he's there. And my wife who take care of me. That's why I look so nice. It's okay to understand when you look nice, you. You know what I'm saying, our folk? Preston, you look like our folk. But we're going to look at Acts chapter 7. And before I get into that, I just want to help you understand a few things we're doing with our youth. Our youth department is growing strong. They excited. I'm excited. And a lot of people are excited about it. But I want you to know that I'm the type of youth minister that kind of delegates, get more people involved. So just remember that John is our deacon over that youth. So John kind of helps everything. All right. So don't think John don't help. He does. And then Ryan, he still runs our huddles. So make sure when you want to do a huddle for the youth, talk to Ryan. You can talk to me, but if you want to, just talk to Ryan and he'll set it up for you. And then Stacy, Ryan's wife right there, is who is helping make sure our stuff get on the website as far as the youth. But don't forget that Sue handles our website for the church, okay? So make sure y'all just thank them, all right? But Acts chapter 7, and we're going to look at verses 8 through 10. And I hope and pray that what I say this morning will encourage some of you. I hope it does. Acts chapter 7, we're going to look at verse 8 through 10. The Bible reads, "And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions, gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house." The subject of this morning's sermon is collateral damage. Collateral damage. And we get to that in a minute in the scripture that Zach so wonderfully read in Genesis chapter 50. But collateral damage is big. I want to show you three things in this text this morning. I want to show you a pit, a prison, and a palace. A pit, a prison, and a palace. Now, many of us know about this pit. We know about the pit that Joseph had to go through. We know about the prison that Joseph had to go through. We know about the palace that Joseph had to go through. But my main reason for wanting for us to get into this is to understand what got him in the pit. What got him in the prison? And what got him in that palace? All right? That's what we're going to look at, okay? Because there are so many things going on in everybody's life. There are so many things that many of you have went through. Bereavement, trials, tribulations, hurt, pain. You need to understand that your palace is coming if it ain't already there. Just because you go through the pit, just because because you go through the prison don't mean your palace ain't coming. It's coming if it ain't already there. See, sometimes you don't know your palace is there because you don't recognize it's a palace. Sometimes your palace don't look like what you thought your palace was going to look like. But believe me, your palace is coming. Your palace might already have came. In this text, it talks about Joseph. So we're going to get deep into this text about Joseph. But to do that, we need to go to Genesis to find out where they talked about this text in. So meet me in Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. We'll come back to Acts, but I want you to see why Genesis 37 is so important to that Acts chapter 7. I want you to see the pit and what got him in the pit. All right? Now, if you notice in chapter 37, and I ain't going to read a lot of this, but I want you to notice really verse 10, chapter 37, verse 10, and watch what this says. Watch this. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Understand that Joseph had a gift from God to be able to interpret dreams. And he had a dream that his brothers and all and his dad and his mom and all them was going to bow to him. He had this dream, okay? This was a dream he had. And he told it to him, and now his father is telling him, don't do that. Even though his father, the Bible said, loved him most. His father loved him most out of all of the 12 brothers. I want you to know that it was 12 brothers. But Joseph was loved most. Don't think he wasn't. He was. That's what the Bible says. But I want you to see this. Now watch this. Still verse 10. What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him. Church, when you start to get better, when you start to rise, when you start to be elevated by God, somebody is going to build your pit and try to put you in it. This pit was dug and he was put in it based off of envy. You know, when people start getting ahead of the game, when people start doing better for themselves, some of us tend to not like it and tend to get jealous. Like when I got jealous that Ryan's beard looks so much better than mine. And I grew my beard because I wanted to have that beard look like Ryan. I was kind of envious of Ryan's beard. But sometimes people get envious of us. Oh, that's the church folk think they're the only people going to heaven. And this is what I say. I appreciate it. Thank you. I'm glad you know that I'm going now. I'm so happy that you understand that I'm going now. You can't be ashamed that you're going to go to glory with God. I'm not. Praise the Lord. I want him to come get me. Lord, come get me. Now, do I want to see some grandkids? I do. But if I got to go to the Lord, I'd be happy with that too. Because I know it's better. Envy gets the best of us. Sometimes envy happens at your job when people see that you're moving up the ladder. Sometimes envy happens at school when people see that you're moving up the ladder. Sometimes envy even happens at church when they see people moving up the ladder. And kids, It's going to stop with y'all. Envy is deep with the kids. Envy is there. The key is you got to overcome envy. How do you overcome envy? That's the key, is overcoming the envy. Because he got put in this pit based off of envy. His brothers was envious of him. All right. So let's go down to let's go to chapter 39. Because I want you to see, not only was he in this pit, and the thing that caused him to get in this pit was envy, but he also went to prison. And I want you to see why. What caused him to go to prison? All this stuff relates to us real good. Genesis chapter 39, and we're going to look at verse 5. I'm going to start right there. Chapter 39, verse 5. Now remember, he got put in this pit. Okay? He got put in this pit, and at first they wanted to kill him. But Judah made the and I want y'all to get this now. If you miss this, you're going to miss what's going on in the spirit right here. Okay? I want you to understand that Judah is the one that decided to let's sell him. He said, Judah said, how can we profit if we kill him? So Judah said, let's put him in the pit and let's sell him. And so the brothers decided to sell him. Judah. Don't forget that. We'll get back there in a minute. Judah decided to sell, and the brothers agreed. Judah decided to sell Joshua, and the brothers agreed. Okay? Don't miss this, because you'll miss this blessing if you miss this. So what happened with Joshua, when he got Joseph, when he got sold? What happened? Watch this. Verse 5 of chapter 39. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. I want you to see this, church, that you as a church member, you can just be in somebody's house and God is going to bless that house just because you that faithful member there. You got to look at your power you got. Just because you in the vicinity, God is blessing that house. Joshua was just in the house and God was blessing it just because Joshua was there. Joseph. Lord, have mercy. Praise God. That's all. He's just in the house. But look at what's happening. Look at what happens in verse 7. We're going to skip down to verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. She didn't like, she liked how he looked, and now she wants to lie with him because that's what she wants to do. But let's keep reading. Watch this. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master, would it not what is with me in the house? And he hath committed all that he had to my hand. Joseph was just trying to make sure he was being faithful to God. He said, I'm not going to do that to you. I'm not going to do that to my master. I'm not going to do that. Sometime, church, people will try to get you to do certain things that the Lord don't want you to do. And you'll be punished for it. Joseph went to prison just because somebody lied on him. That's all. No reason for the lie. The lie might not be true. The lie ain't true in this standpoint. The lie might not be true with you. But that don't mean you won't go into a prison over just a lie. It happens. You got to overcome that pit. You got to overcome that prison. You got to overcome the envy. You got to overcome the lie. Don't think just because you're with God, ain't nobody going to lie on you. They will. They will. That's just part of it. The lie. And you don't have to do nothing to receive the lie. It can just come. See, when you trying to climb that ladder that God want for you, things are going to happen to you, and you gotta get over it. You got to achieve it. You got to make sure that you're okay, because God wants your best. He want to make sure you're ready. And you can't be scared of it. You got to make sure you go. Because when they throw you in the pit, you got to be able to handle what that pit got in store for you. You got to first, number one, be able to understand that God is with you also in the pit. And when they throw you in the prison, you got to be able to deal with it, and you got to understand that God is with you in the prison. Because in a minute, here come your palace. Your palace is coming, if it's not already there. Your palace is coming. But see, some people want to go to the palace and not deal with the pit. You can't do that sometimes. Some people want to just go straight to the palace. Sometimes you got to just take all the hits, the troubles, the trials before you get your palace. Sometimes you got to just be able to handle, because God want to see, I told y'all this before, he ain't made me a millionaire yet. But he don't know, he's like, I don't know what he going to do. Make me a millionaire. I don't know what he going to do, what he got planned. And I've been praying to God, I'm going to do right. I'm going to help the church. I'm going to help the kids. I'm going to do right. But I know God's saying, well, what if I take it all from you? Ooh, that's what I'm scared. I'm going to give it all to you, but I'm going to take it all from you. Oh, Lord, don't do that. Just see if you can handle it. Woo! Sometimes he makes things happen to us just to see if we can handle it. Just to see if we can get over it. Just to see if you're going to fall in the pit and stay in the pit. But sometimes people fall in the pit and they just stay there. They give up. Life gets too tough. It's too hard. Oh, I'm going to stay right there. No! Get out of that pit. You climb up out of that pit. You come talk to one of your brothers and sisters and have them make a ladder out for their back, and you climb on their back to get out of the pit. That's what you do. The prison is just there. It will unlock just like it locked. Just like the prison locked, it can unlock. All you got to do is have your faith there. No matter what, you say, my faith is strong. I'm going to get out of this prison. Because here comes the palace. Let's look at chapter 41. Let's look at that. Chapter 41, and we're going to look at, starting at verse 37. Because I want you to see this palace. I want you to see what's going on with this palace. Because just because you're in the pit, doesn't mean you got to stay in the pit. Just because you're in the prison, don't mean you got to stay in the prison. Oh, Lord, he got a palace for you. You got to get there. You got to see this palace. Now, what got him to the palace? Now, watch this. The same gift that got him to the palace is the same gift that got him to the pit and the same gift that got him to prison. See, you can have your gift that God gave you, and you can think once you get onto the palace, you think that's what got you there. But you ain't understanding your gift is what put you in the pit too. Well, Brother Marshall, can you make it plain? Yeah, I'm going to make it real plain. Watch this. Back in 2002, I became the youth minister for Eastside Church of Christ in Oklahoma City. Okay? And we started out with about 35 kids. And the proof is right here, because I don't know if you see my sister-in-law, she don't like me putting on Front Street, but I'm going to do it right now. my sister-in-law, she was one of my youth. And she the one was over the youth council. The same thing I did with y'all, I did with her. Same thing. Youth council put her over it with some other teenagers, and they kind of ran everything. And I put them over it, and they did it. Next thing you know, we had 35, then we had 45, and then we had 70-something. Didn't we clean up the church? See, this ain't new. But you know what happened? People start complaining. People start whining. People start going off. Church members start losing control. We doing too much. I don't like all this stuff. They not the kids. These are grown folks. This is too much work. It's too hard. This is too much going on. Brother Marshall don't know what he's doing. He don't know what he's talking about. What is his brain thinking of? He got too much going on. This is too much. Then people come to my office and they say, Brother Marshall, you got too much going on. Brother Marshall, you're spending too much money. That's what they used to tell me. I wasn't spending a dime. They said, Brother Marshall, you're spending too much money. Brother Marshall, you got this going on. We're doing too much. It's just too much. And then all of a sudden, you know what happened? Brother Marshall got put in the pit. Oh, and Brother Marshall stayed in the pit. I'm trying to teach you something. I'm trying to show you. Brother Marshall stayed in the pit. If you don't believe me, ask Letitia after church. I stayed in it. Next thing you know, we lose our minister because our minister is upset that I'm in the pit too. So he don't want to be there no more because too many people whining and crying about what we're doing and what we ain't doing and how we're doing too much. So we lose our minister. And then all of a sudden, we lose our youth department. 77 strong. Everybody quit. Everybody gave up. Everybody stopped. Brother Mark said, well, I'm through here. I'm going to leave because I'm sick of these people. So I go to Dale City Church of Christ to worship there and do nothing. I'm just going to sit back and do nothing. That's what my mindset was. So then I went back to Eastside Church of Christ, but I wasn't going to get caught up no more. So you want to be our youth minister? Nope, don't want to do it. Why? Because collateral damage. Why? Because I'm in the pit. And I don't want to get out the pit. Then all of a sudden I go, and years pass, then all of a sudden I become the minister at Green Pastors Church of Christ. Oh, they pay me $600 a month. I drove to Green Pastors in Spencer, Oklahoma, from Seminole, Oklahoma. Drove all the way there to minister, and they said, well, we need you here on Wednesday too. I'm on my way, I'm coming. But then they started whining, crying, because they didn't want to do nothing. I mean, two people out of 25. 23 of them said, yeah, we want to do everything. Two said, no. But see, you got to realize when them two is the patriarchs, like the Bible said, the patriarchs of the church, then the two had to say so. So Brother Marshall said, no, I got to get up out of here too. This ain't too much for me. So what I did is I went home and I just sat there. And then Melissa started going to some church called the Seminole Church of Christ. And I said, I don't know what you're doing. She said, well, I'm going to church here because they got a nice youth department. And then they said the youth minister's name was R. Polka Daniels. I said, what kind of name is that? I don't think I belong there with that kind of name. I don't know who that is. R. Polka Daniels. Daniels, I understand, but R. Polka? And then the kids, when they would say, yeah, Polk. And I'm, Polk? Who is that? And then all of a sudden, the youth minister come, and he finally see me, and Polk just look at me, and he hugs me and all this kind of stuff. He don't even know me. And I look at him, and I do all this stuff with him, and now we get, you know, and then all of a sudden, now I'm at Seminole Church of Christ. Now I'm trying to climb out the pit, church. That's what I'm trying to teach you right now. See, I'm trying to climb out the pit. And then people start being so nice and so loving to me and start doing things just like just saying hi. And then next thing you know, the preacher comes. Chris Nett, he's the preacher. He comes somehow. I never had that before. So all of a sudden, I'm climbing out the pit. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm climbing out the pit. And now all of a sudden, I climb out the pit. Now I'm at church. I sit on the second row. I'm doing things. I'm doing stuff. I'm climbing out the pit. I'm getting out the pit. I'm out of the pit. I'm getting out. I'm climbing. I'm getting out the pit. The pit is not going to keep me in there. I'm climbing. But I didn't know something else was going to happen because I'm climbing. So what happened? We lose our minister. So everything that happened, all the collateral damage that happened to me years ago, all of it start coming back. And now I'm like, I'm at the wrong place. All of it, everything. Oh, it's happening again. Oh, it's happening again. Oh, and then all of a sudden, I get put into the prison. I get out the pit. We lose our minister. I get put in the prison. Because now the church is shook like a train. It's shook. I'm trying to teach y'all something, church. It's shook. Aubrey, you hear me? You get shooken up sometimes, don't you? Yeah. Sometimes you get shooken up. And something has to unlock the door for you so you can get out of prison. You in prison, you locked, got it locked, and you're trying to get out. And then all of a sudden you have your elders come to you and say, you'll do good. You have your song directors come and say, hey man, you're doing all right. You have people like Dan Reynolds that come to you and just look at you and say, bro Marshall, you doing all right? Just asking me. Not to put nobody on the front street. I'm just telling you how it works. And you have some people that just care for you. You might not say a lot of stuff, but you just say enough to help me get out of the prison. Because now I can walk out the prison. And now I walk out the prison, and the first thing, watch what the Lord do. The first thing the Lord said now, the same gift that I gave you that put you in the pit, the same gift that I gave you that put you in the prison, that's the same gift I want you to do now when you get out and go to the palace. So he said, I want you to preach. Now I want you to take a special interest for kids. I want you to do that. I want you to preach, though. Your gift is preaching. Your gift is talking to people to uplift them. Sometimes you might have to hit them in the mouth, but they'll be okay. That's your gift. So you use your gift. You say, okay, when I go to these places, when I go to these places, I'm using my gift. Because it's the same gift that put me in the pit. It's the same gift that put me in the prison. But now I know how to deal with it. Now I'm trying to overcome it. Church, I don't know what your pit is, but you have one. You got to get up out of it. I don't know what your prison might be. You got one. You got to get up out of it. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Not everybody is Joseph in this story. What are you saying, Brother Marshall? Sometimes you the brothers. Sometimes you ain't Joseph who get put in the pit. You the one doing the digging. Sometimes you the one that want to put him in the pit because you envy. Sometimes you're the one that won't allow on him because you won't allow him. You don't want to see nobody go higher than you because you just mad, sucking lemons all the time. Let me tell you something. You'll be all right. You can get over that. I used to be that brother too. Ooh, I used to be envious. I used to be an envious person. You can get over it. You can rise above that too. Envy hits all of us. Don't think it don't. Envy touches everybody. When I first got here, I said, man, I want to lead songs. Steve up here getting all the accolades. Everybody loves Steve up here. Steve up here singing, everybody come to him, good job, Steve. And I'm like, I want some of that too. I got a little envious of Steve, see. And then I did led songs, and look what happened. I led songs, I think it was a Wednesday, wasn't it, Lynn? Where you at, Lynn? It was a Wednesday night, led songs, and I couldn't do nothing. Woo! I said, I can't lead songs. I said, I can't do that. So you know what I did? I said, that ain't my gift. Let me leave that gift to Steve and the other Steve. I'm going to leave this alone, and I'm going to do my gift, because that ain't my gift. My gift is preaching, teaching, trying to help people overcome things. That's my gift. So I said, let me leave that alone. Church, when you get to your palace, you still might get knocked down to your pit. You still might get put in prison. Don't stay there. Overcome it. Overcome it. Because you have a palace. Now, here's what I want you to know. Because this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where it really gets to the sermon. In Genesis chapter 50. Let's go there. Now, I want you to understand, in Acts chapter 7, we looked at all them verses envy. And if you looked at 10a, you've seen it say, and deliver him out of all his afflictions. That's that prison. And now all of a sudden he was made governor. Here goes the palace. Now, because of the gift of interpreting dreams, Pharaoh says, I'm going to put Joseph over all of Egypt. Now watch this. Because Joseph now becomes overseer over all of Egypt. Let's go to chapter 50 that Zach read, and let's look at verse 19. Watch this. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God. Let me tell you why he said it, so I don't have to read all that. This is why he said it. Because his brothers, remember this now, his brothers, the same brothers that put him in the pit, his brothers, the same brothers that sold him, his brothers are now needing him. Well, what can I get out of that, church, Brother Marshall? Here's what you get out of that. Some of the same people that's digging your pit, you got to serve. See, you ain't got time to be trying to figure out who you going to serve. Some people that you have to serve, they your pit diggers too. And you can't just cut them out. Some people that put you in prison, you still got to serve them too. You don't want to give up on people just because they done made you mad. You need to get over it, church folk. You got to get out the pit. You can't stay in the pit being mad. You sit all the way over here because you mad at Sister So-and-so over here. You better get out the pit. You better shake it off. You got to shake it off and get out the pit. Well, he made me mad. Okay, he made you mad. You made him mad. All right, call it a day. Now, let's go do church. Get out the pit. Because the same people that you get in the pit, that they put you in the pit, you got to serve. What am I talking about, young folk? If you keep a grudge with people all your life, then you're going to hurt yourself. No matter what happens, forget about it and move on. If you don't, you hurt you. See, I had to realize that I was so mad at people at my old church, and I wouldn't never forgive them, and I was struggling with it, and I kept to keep myself in the pit. So what I had to do is say, I had to get out the pit. I had to do that. I had to figure out a way how to get out of this. And so I had to go back to the church. And I had to say, good to see y'all. I'm sorry, but I know what I did wrong. But I ain't looking for them to tell me sorry because I done already been okay. I'm already forgave them. They don't have to tell me they sorry. See, if I got to wait for John to tell me I'm sorry, then I'm up here struggling. I don't need to. John don't need to tell me I'm sorry. If he want to, he can. If he don't, I already forgave him. So it don't matter. He can tell me he's sorry. He cannot tell me he's sorry. I already forgave. Genesis chapter 50, verse 19, you see this, fear not. That's what he told his brothers. Because they even told another lie. If you come up the street on up the verses right there, you will see they even told another lie. They said, what daddy said to basically take a light on us. That's what they said. Daddy didn't say that. They said their daddy said that. If you go read verses above, their daddy didn't say that. So Joseph tells his brothers, this is what he said. Don't be scared. I'm in the place of God. Don't worry about it. I'm in the place of God. Watch what he do. Verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. See, the people that's digging your pit, they might think evil against you, but they don't realize they're helping you out. It ain't no secret that I had a whole lot of stuff going on at the school. But guess what? If it wouldn't have never went on like that at the school, I wouldn't be retired making more money than I did at the school. Had to go through the pit, had to go through the palace, the prison, so that I could enjoy my palace. So now I can get up when I want to. I can sleep when I want to sometimes. I got dogs, so I can't do too much. If I don't feel good, don't have to. But you know what? I already know that's not why I went through it. What do I know? This is why I went through it. Because I knew at Seminole Church of Christ, we can't be affording nobody for no youth minister. That can't happen. That would tear our church up budget-wise. So God gave me a chance to say, I'm going to make you retire. And your job is not to sit at home. Your job is to do something for the church, and you don't ask no money for it. So what I did is I said, I'm gonna take over the youth department, and I don't want to die. I don't need it because I already got my palace. It's already there. But see, I make sure that I have to do what is best for God, or God will take away my palace. So what I said, I'm going to do something for the church before God takes my palace away. He just didn't let me retire just for nothing. He let me retire so to help his cause. That's the mission. So now all of a sudden I look at it and I see in verse 20, watch this. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Verse 21, now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. See, when you know that you got your palace, you ain't got to brag about it. You got to thank people that dug your pit. Thank people that put you in prison so that you can handle the palace. But everybody got a palace that's coming or already here. Now, why do we need to thank this text so much? It's because Joseph starts to look like somebody we know. Now, here go your blessing right here. Joseph starts looking like somebody. He starts to really look like somebody we know. He was sold. He was sold and betrayed by his brothers. He had 12 of them. And he was sold and betrayed just like that other man was sold and betrayed by his 12 brothers. And the one person that decided to sell him was a man named Judah. Now, I want you to get this in your spirit. You might know this already, but I'm going to teach you something. The name Judah is a Hebrew name. It's a Hebrew name. And in different names are pronounced a different way if you say it in Greek. Like Elijah. Elijah is a Hebrew name, but if the Greek said his name, it would sound like Elias. Okay? That's what it would sound like, Elias. It's kind of similar to our English compared to Spanish. Like a man's name in English is Charles, but in Spanish it might be pronounced Carlos. You see the difference? Okay, why are you doing this, Brother Marshall? Because I'm trying to get you this blessing right quick. Judah is a Hebrew name, but do you know how it's pronounced in Greek? It's pronounced Judas. Oh, hold on. So you mean to tell me Joseph was sold by his brothers, just like another man we know, and the person that decided to sell him was a man named Judah, which is Greek, which is Hebrew, and if we say his name in Greek, it's Judas. And the same man named Judas decided to sell this other man. Okay. He decided to sell him. So you got a man named Judah. In Hebrew, his Greek name is Judas. And the same man named Jesus was sold by Judas. And his 12 brothers betrayed him, just like Joseph's 12 brothers betrayed him. So now we start to see what's going on. See, they dug a pit too for that man. You do know that, don't you? They dug him a pit too. They just nailed him to a cross and then put the cross in the pit. But they didn't know that God was with him too. They put him in prison too. Remember that? But they had no idea that God was in prison with the same man. Okay. They did that. This man is Jesus Christ. He went through the same thing. Church, if you think you're going through a pit by yourself, you're not. You got a big brother that went through the same pit. If you think you're going through a prison by yourself, you're not. You got a big brother that went through the prison. But you also got to realize that big brother went to a big palace. And he said, I got a palace waiting on y'all, full of gold, with your mansion all by yourself. He said, all I want you to do is climb out the pit. All I want you to do is climb out the prison, and you come to Jesus Christ. You remember that he's the one that can get you there. You can't get there no other way. He's the one that gets you there. And church, when you find out and you realize that this man can get you to a place that you never knew, then it makes you understand how important it is. Now, if you say, Brother Marshall, I don't know what you're talking about with that Judah and that Judas, this is what I'm going to tell you. You got to get the King James Version. And then you got to go to Matthew chapter 1. The one text we always skip over. And you start at verse 2. And you'll see what that man Judah's name is. What they call it in the Greek. And then you can think about what's going on with life and how you can overcome things. Because no matter what, we're on the rise right now. The Church of Christ at Seminole is on a rise. You might not see it. I don't see it, but it's there. It's on a rise. We just can't let ourselves stay in the pit when we get thrown in. We're going to get thrown in it again. Don't let yourself stay in the prison when we get put in. We're going to get put in it again. You stay your course and make that palace work for you. Now, here's what is so hard is making that step towards Christ. Making a step towards God. You got to hear the word and believe it. You got to believe it. No one can make you believe it. You have to do it on your own. You have to decide that you're going to repent. You're going to say, I'm going to quit messing up. I'm going to quit this. I'm going to start this. You got to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. You got to get baptized for the remission of sins. That's what you have to do if you have never done it. Now, Brother Marshall, what if I have done it? Well, that's when you have to pray and you have to repent so that you can get out of your pit or your prison so that you can enjoy your palace. If you need to do that, don't stay in your seat. You come on up here. Nobody's going to say nothing about it. We all going to love you. We all going to love it. You can make it up here. Don't be scared. If I got to come back there and help you come up here, I'll do it. But I guarantee somebody that's next to you will do the same thing. So don't stay there. If you're having trouble and you need it, won't you come together as we stand and sing the invitational song?